Well, listen, it's hard to believe that it's been almost 20 years, but in September of 1997, a reality show began airing on television that took our country by storm. It immediately became one of those shows you either loved or hated. You either set the DVR, now that was before what we have now, you either set the DVR to record it, or you watched one or part of one and decided you'd never watch it again. Barbie and I actually have a dear friend in Louisville, Kentucky, who auditioned for this show. The show? No, not Dallas. The show was and is Survivor. The rules of Survivor are simple. People are abandoned in the middle of some of the most unforgiving places on earth. They are then divided into teams, participate in challenges, and every 3 days, the losing tribe must trek to the tribal council to vote out one of their own. Halfway through the game, challenges shift to individual competitions, as so many have been eliminated. Now it's just big enough for one group. And each contestant is vying for themselves. At the end of the game, of course, one contestant becomes the sole survivor and wins $1 million. Survivor is a game of adaptation, adapting to your surroundings and to the people you're playing with. It focuses on the people, the social commentary that surrounds them, and how players can outwit, outplay, and outlast everyone to the end. Reminds me of the story of a scoutmaster who was teaching the scouts about survival in the desert. He asked them, to begin with, what are the three most important things you should bring with you in case you get lost in the desert? Several hands went up and many important things were named and suggested, such as food, water, matches, etc. Then one scout raised his hand a little bit late and the scoutmaster said, "Yes, Mitchell, what are the three most important things you would bring with you?" Mitchell said, "A compass, a canteen of water, and a deck of cards." "Why is that, Mitchell?" And Mitchell answered, "The compass is to find the right direction, and the water is to prevent dehydration." "And what about the deck of cards?" the scoutmaster asked him. "Well, sir," he said, "I figure as soon as you start playing solitaire, someone's bound to come up behind you and say, 'Put that red 9 on that black 10. Ever been there? Yeah. What does it mean to be a survivor? Today we talk about all kinds of survivors: cancer survivors, abuse survivors, tornado, earthquake, hurricane survivors, and the list goes on. It's great to be a survivor. The dictionary defines a survivor as someone who continues to function or prosper in spite of opposition, hardship, or setbacks. And even as Christians, we face times of survival. I get that. I really do. The preacher's family is not immune. We know about opposition, hardship, and setbacks too. We have heard the words, "I'm pregnant," from an unmarried child, and then wondered how we could continue to function effectively in ministry. We've heard the words, "We're getting a divorce," from our children, and felt the horror of not seeing our grandchild for years. We've heard the words, "Your baby did not form in the womb. You're having a miscarriage." We wept at the loss of a child we would never hold in this life. We've heard the doctor say it's cancer, and the words 3 to 5 years, and then felt the prayers followed by the words "cured" and "cancer free." We've heard the words, "I'm being deployed to Iran." And the long days and nights for weeks and months of watching the news, praying to get a glimpse of our son, and at the same time praying not to. We know what it's like after a hardship or some opposition or setbacks to just survive, to just function. And I know that each person tries to survive in their own way and on their own time. But I want to share this morning, there is a better way. In Christ Jesus, we can do more than just survive. The Bible does not use the word survivor, but it does use the word overcome. And the root word for overcome in the original language of Greek, the original language of the New Testament, has a very interesting meaning. It means to gain the victory. It means to win. And it's used that way over 20 times in the New Testament. I don't want to settle for just surviving. I want the victory. I want to be an overcomer. And I want that for you too, with whatever hardship, struggle, or setback, or opposition that you're facing in your life. And I believe there are many here today that want that too. Far more important than the ability to survive on a desert island or in the Australian outback, or even to win $1 million, is the ability to be a spiritual survivor in this world. And a spiritual survivor is more than just being able to function. It's overcoming. It's winning the victory over our hardships, oppositions, setbacks, and so much more. It begins, I think, with understanding the words of Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 39, and believing that they are absolutely true. Paul begins with these words in verse 37. No, in all these things, and he's just listed a lot of things that come against us as Christians. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's victory in Jesus. For I am convinced. What's that word convinced mean? I'm absolutely sure. I'm convinced of it. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's not just believing those words are true. That's not just being able to say those words. It is knowing they're true. It's being convinced they are true. And as the last part of our vision statement says, then proving by the lives we live, God is in control. It's knowing, even when it makes zero sense to me, I'm still convinced God's got this. It's like that old story. And I almost apologize for bringing it up again. Church was full. Singing was incredible. Praising the Lord. Prayers lifted up with hearts joined together as one as they were led in prayer again and again. Sharing the Lord's Supper. And the preaching was right on target. Service like today. And then suddenly from the mosh pit in front of everyone, that's what I call this, our mosh pit, in just a big burst of flame, the devil comes standing up and he just started bellowing that demon-like laughter of his. Flames flaring everywhere, darting from his eyes, jutting from his fingertips, and the congregation went berserk, screaming, pushing, shoving, climbing over each other, nearly trampling each other to find an exit or make a new one. Finally, the devil just started laughing to himself. He turned around and the preacher was still standing there. And he asked the preacher, "Why are you here?" He said, "I'm not afraid of you. Jesus is my Lord. He's already defeated you once. You are a nobody." Well, the devil didn't like that when he heard the word Jesus, so he turned around and then he noticed in the back of the church there was one man still there. And so he turned his attention to him, and again in his devilish, demon-like voice, just asked him, "Why are you here?" And he said, "Well, you don't scare me. The last 40 years, I've been married to your sister. Sorry. Either way, baby, that's being convinced that the devil's no threat, okay? I'm convinced God's got this. In order to understand or grasp, rather, what it means to be a spiritual survivor and overcomer, we want to ask and answer three questions. First of all, what must we overcome? Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 2. And there I'd ask you to start reading with me at verse number 15. Jesus tells us, or John tells us there that we're instructed to do not love the world or anything in it. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now that is as relevant today as it has ever been. In these verses, the world is described as a threefold foe. First was the lust of the flesh. That speaks of passion. Second is the lust of the eyes. That speaks of possessions. And thirdly, the pride of life speaks of position. And if you look around us, there are many people that are always pursuing one of those or more of those three things. Passion, possessions, or position. And John tells us, don't love those things. We have to overcome what the world is offering us because God offers us so much more and so much better. All of those together describe unbridled ambition, the desire to put oneself first. In pursuit of these things, we'll put ourselves and what we want and our energies and everything else into it above our families, above the church, above our friends. This world still attacks us through those three areas of temptation. And Jesus taught His disciples to be confident and optimistic. Jesus said, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have hardships and setbacks and opposition. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. There's that word, overcome. I've overcome the world. That's one of the things we need to overcome, is the world. Struggles and hardships and oppositions are not about me. They're not about my past or my sins. It's about accepting and living for the One who has already defeated sin, death, and the grave. And not just for the world, but for me. It's grasping the words of Scripture and understanding God loves me. I am forgiven. I am cleansed of all unrighteousness. Through Jesus, I am an overcomer. And nothing in this world, nothing in this life can take that away from me. No opposition, no hardship, no setback. Secondly, how can we become an overcomer like that? That all sounds good, doesn't it? How do we do that? Well, turn to 1 John chapter 5, not the Gospel of John, but his first letter, chapter number 5, and begin just right there at verse 1. He tells us there that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commandments. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commandments. Period. And this is beautiful. His commandments are not burdensome. It really bothers me when I hear people say, I don't want to be a Christian, and they list all these things. It's like, look, being a Christian is not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. That's how we do it. You overcome the world by loving the Father and obeying Him. This is the victory that has overcome the world. We read that during our communion time. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That text reveals that we will face powerful opposition in this world. Listen carefully and let me explain. This opposition is necessary. Helen Keller, famous for the difficulty she overcame from having been born blind, made this observation. The marvelous richness of the human experience would lose something of rewarding joy if there were not limitations to overcome. The hilltop hour would not be half so wonderful if there were no dark valleys to traverse. It is the difficulties in life that give us the opportunity to know what it's like to have victory. That text reveals two resources that are available to each of us that enable us to become overcomers. The first, it requires a birth, a new birth. Verse 4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. There's no way to be an overcomer in your own strength and in your old nature. Only as a new birth and a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Christ, can we have that power and strength to overcome the world. Being an overcomer demands that we be born again. There's a void in our lives that can only be filled successfully with a right relationship with Christ. When we are buried with Him in Christian baptism, we begin a new life filled and led by the Holy Spirit that brings about joyful, fulfilled, victorious lives. And second, it requires a belief. The end of verse 4 and on into 5 says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You do not become an overcomer by trying. You become an overcomer by trusting. If you want to be victorious, it's time to stop trying and start trusting. So how can we live then, thirdly? How can we live like overcomers? Get your computers ready there. Here we go. John tells us first in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. In other words, they loved the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. And they would rather die for Him than to live without Him. We can overcome the obstacles we face in this life through the strength and guidance that we receive in the Lord. John reminds us again in his first letter, 1 John 4:4, dear children, you are from God and have overcome them, that is the world and the things around us, because the one who is in you is what? Greater than he that is in the world. If you've been born again, you've already been made an overcomer in Christ. We've already been given the victory through the blood of Jesus. Our challenge now is to live in the light of the victory that has already been won. Again, proving by the lives we live that God is in control. It means that we determine with God's help we can and we will live as overcomers, not just as survivors. If you're not a Christian this morning, that is, if you've not received God's grace and love by believing in His sacrificial death on the cross and that it was sufficient for your forgiveness, by repenting of your sins and being baptized to wash them all away, that's where your journey to becoming an overcomer should begin. From there, God will give you the gift of His Holy Spirit to guide you. His Word to enlighten you, and His church, His family, to encourage and support you on this journey to becoming an overcomer. And I don't care what you have to overcome. You will find very quickly you're not the only person in the world who's needed help in overcoming. God has never been defeated by any event of the past, nor will He be by the events of the future. Joseph was in the dungeon, and God released him. The Hebrews were in slavery, but God delivered them. David was overwhelmed by the guilt of his sin, but God forgave him. Daniel was in the lion's den, but God preserved him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, but God joined them. Jonah was in the belly of the fish, but God retrieved him. Jesus was in the tomb, but God raised him. No problem has been so great that God in His power has not overcome it. And that promise comes to each of us this morning. What He has done in the past, He will do again today. Through God's power, you can overcome. A young man was in a wheelchair, once a great athlete, an accomplished pole vaulter. But due to an accident, he was now crippled and in a wheelchair. One day asked his friend, "Do I have a future?" And wisely his friend responded, "As a pole vaulter, no. As a man, yes." An overcomer accepts the promise of God's Word that no matter how great the problem, he can overcome. And he has a future. If you are a Christian this morning, remember, victorious living is a struggle between the old man and the new man. The Imperials had a great song years ago. Deep within you, there's a spiritual battle. There's a voice of the darkness and a voice of the light. And just by listening, you've made the decision. Because the voice you hear is going to win the fight. The devil has a voice that says to you, "You'll never amount to anything." And yet the Lord has a voice that says, "You mean enough for me to lay down my life for you." The devil says, "Listen, you've been so bad nobody could forgive you." And the Lord says, "Hey, look at the preacher. I've forgiven worse." Perhaps you need to kick it up a notch if you're a believer. Quit living like a survivor. Quit just getting by, putting one foot in front of the other, just trying to keep functioning and know that God's Word is true. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." And may we never forget Paul's words in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning of verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." In Jesus Christ, you are not a survivor. You are more than a conqueror. You are victorious. In Jesus, you are an overcomer. Jesus overcame sin, death, and the grave, and He invites you to join Him in that victory and prove by the way you live, God's got this. God is in control. Will that make it any easier? Not necessarily. Will it make it, how do you describe that kind of life? Will it make it overcoming? Oh, you bet. Father God, this morning, we all will be facing opposition, challenges to our faith and our way of thinking, our opinions. We will face hardships. Many have already faced hardships, Father, that are so hard we would not wish them again on our worst enemy. We will face setbacks financially, health-wise, betrayal. The list goes on and on and on. And sometimes the blow they send to us is so hard that we can't hardly seem to get back up the next morning and go again. Sometimes they're so deep they make us question You. Make us question our faith. And Father, to each one of those, You can help us overcome it. Not just survive it, overcome it. And I think perhaps the best tool the devil uses is to help us question, to make us question our faith, because that is our victory, our faith. May we never lose faith in the face of any opposition, hardship, or setback. Help us keep the faith, because we know that You are keeping us. And as You keep us in Your care, we can continue to do more than just function. We can realize we are more than conquerors and live a life as an overcomer. For that we will give You our praise, and for that we will strive in our living. For Jesus' glory and in His name, amen.